What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's black bean burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
We have the latest on the Monday, October 28th developments of the trial of Richard Allen, accused of the shocking murders of two teenage girls. Abigail Abby Williams and Liberty Libby German has now entered its ninth day, and the courtroom is abuzz with revelations that could significantly impact the fate of the case. Today, we delve into the profound implications of forensic evidence, investigative missteps, and the overarching quest for justice in the face of uncertainty. As the court proceedings began this morning, an air of tension permeated the room. Just moments after the gavel sounded, forensic scientist Stace Bozanowski from the Indiana State Police took the stand, ready to provide what many expected to be a turning point in the trial. Yet, what she revealed was startling. No DNA evidence links Richard Allen to the crime scene. This bombshell revelation sent ripples through the courtroom and left many questioning the very foundation of the prosecution's case. Imagine being in that courtroom as Bozanowski laid out the details of her analysis. The evidence collection process, particularly concerning DNA, is intricate and fraught with challenges. Bozanowski examined various pieces of clothing and items recovered from the scene, including a pink shirt found near Abby and two bras, one gray and one black, that exhibited potential blood stains. Yet, as she meticulously detailed her findings, it became clear that the absence of male DNA on these critical items could dismantle the narrative the prosecution has been building since Allen's arrest. Bozanowski informed the jury that the blood on the pink shirt was partially identified as Abby's, but she could not confirm any connection to Allen. The gray and black bras also showed possible blood, but the DNA was inconclusive. To add another layer of complexity, the hairs found on the pink shirt included one strand that belonged to Abby, while another could not be definitively identified. The courtroom felt the weight of this moment. How could a case built on such serious accusations crumble under the scrutiny of forensic analysis? Further complicating the prosecution's narrative, Bozanowski testified about a black Nike shoe discovered under Abby's body, Although the shoe contained hair that might belong to an animal, it was the blood analysis that particularly raised eyebrows. While some blood found was confirmed to be Abby's, the additional blood needed further analysis, leaving the jury and everyone watching wondering what it all truly meant. The prosecution had anticipated a strong case based on DNA evidence, yet with each piece of evidence presented, they seemed to be losing ground. As Bozanovsky continued her testimony, she detailed further evidence collected from the crime scene, including several swabs taken from the ground and trees surrounding where the girls' bodies were found. Out of these swabs, five contained Libby's blood, while two were identified as Abby's. However, when the focus shifted to the broader scope of evidence, the challenges of forensic testing became starkly apparent. The degradation of samples collected from the creek where the bodies were found led to incomplete and inconclusive results, challenges that could prove fatal for the prosecution's case. The courtroom atmosphere became increasingly charged when Bozanovsky described the various articles of clothing recovered from the creek. Items included a sweatshirt, socks, and a tank top, all of which were expected to yield vital forensic evidence. Yet, to the dismay of the prosecution, most items showed no blood or seminal fluid. The evidence seemed to reflect a frustrating reality. Each attempt to connect Allen to the crime was thwarted by the very nature of the physical evidence itself. What's more, the forensic expert revealed that a pair of jeans retrieved from the creek contained mostly Abby's DNA, with only a trace amount of Libby's. While this seems like a potential lead, the implications are complicated. How can this evidence definitively point to Allen when there is no clear connection established? The prosecution's reliance on this data highlights a significant weakness in their argument, especially given that the forensic tests showed no male DNA in the vaginal swabs taken from either girl. This revelation begs the question, could the state's case against Allen be founded on shaky ground? As the day's testimony unfolded, Lieutenant Jerry Holman of the Indiana State Police took the stand and added another layer of complexity to the proceedings. In a stunning admission, he acknowledged that mistakes were made during the initial investigation. Mistakes? This term reverberated throughout the courtroom, resonating not just with the jury, but with the families of the victims and the community that has lived in the shadow of these crimes for years. Holman's testimony revealed flaws in the firearms evidence that was supposed to bolster the prosecution's case. The failure to establish a conclusive DNA connection through the firearms analysis cast a long shadow over the case. As the jury listened, they were confronted with the uncomfortable reality that the investigation had not only overlooked key details, but had also allowed critical evidence to slip through the cracks. The prosecution's insistence on Allen's culpability began to feel less certain, leaving many wondering how such significant gaps could exist in a case so heavily scrutinized. In a telling moment, Holman recounted Allen's behavior during his initial police interview. Allen reportedly became agitated when asked about how a cartridge matching his gun was found at the crime scene. While the prosecution might have hoped this would indicate guilt, the absence of concrete evidence linking him to the actual crime left many questions unanswered. What were the motivations behind his reactions? Were they indicative of guilt, or were they merely the responses of a man caught in a complex and devastating situation? With the absence of definitive evidence linking Richard Allen to the murders, the focus turned toward the defense's strategy. Allen's legal team has been meticulous in highlighting the lack of direct evidence connecting him to the crimes, emphasizing the need for reasonable doubt. In a case where the stakes are incredibly high, the defense's approach underscores a fundamental principle of justice: the burden of proof lies with the prosecution. If they cannot substantiate their claims with clear and irrefutable evidence, the case against Allen weakens significantly. The community's reaction to the unfolding trial has been palpable. Residents of Delphi, having lived through the anguish of losing two young lives, are now faced with the possibility that the person they believed was guilty may not be the perpetrator at all. As each revelation hits the courtroom, the emotional toll on families and the community at large becomes evident. The quest for justice transforms into a poignant reminder of the complexities of the legal system and the flaws that can arise within it. Local media outlets have been relentless in their coverage, ensuring that the story remains in the public consciousness. The emotional responses from the community underscore the weight of the tragedy. The town has waited years for answers, hoping that the trial would bring some semblance of closure. Yet, with the revelations that continue to emerge, many residents are left questioning whether justice will ever be served. The critical element at play here is the impact of forensic science on criminal investigations. As forensic expert Bozanovsky outlined the intricacies of DNA testing, it became clear that forensic evidence, while often viewed as a golden ticket to conviction, can be fraught with pitfalls. The challenges associated with recovering and analyzing DNA samples can lead to inconclusive results, leaving the jury to grapple with uncertainty. In a case where emotions run high, the legal implications of these scientific challenges cannot be overstated. Part 2. Context and Background of the Delphi Murders. As we turn our attention to the broader context of the Delphi Murders trial, it's essential to explore the timeline of events leading to the tragic discovery of Abby Williams and Libby German's bodies. The murder of these two young girls not only shocked the residents of Delphi, but also sparked a nationwide outcry for justice. The timeline reveals a series of events that would ultimately culminate in a drawn-out investigation and an ongoing quest for truth. On February 13, 2017, Abby and Libby went for a walk on a popular hiking trail near the Monongahela Bridge. When they didn't return home, an exhaustive search was launched involving law enforcement and community volunteers. The urgent effort quickly turned into a desperate race against time, filled with hope that the girls would be found safe. Tragically, their bodies were discovered the day after they went missing, and the shockwaves of their deaths reverberated through the town. Initially, the investigation focused on gathering any available evidence, including witness statements and potential surveillance footage. Early reports indicated that the girls had been approached by an unidentified man on the trail, and a composite sketch was released in the hopes of identifying the suspect. As investigators dug deeper, they honed in on various leads, including a local man who was subsequently cleared of suspicion. The investigation seemed to fall into a series of dead ends, and the passage of time only intensified the anguish felt by the families of Abby and Libby. Richard Allen's name first surfaced as a potential suspect in 2017, but he was not formally charged until October 2022. The significant gap between the girls' murders and Allen's arrest raised questions about the effectiveness of the investigation. Many in the community began to wonder why it had taken so long to connect the dots, especially in a case that had garnered national attention. The frustration was palpable, and the families of the victims felt a sense of urgency for justice that was increasingly difficult to bear. The trial, which commenced on October 18, 2024, brought heightened scrutiny to the investigation's earlier phases, with Allen facing multiple charges, including murder and kidnapping. The stakes were incredibly high. Yet, as the opening days of testimony revealed the absence of conclusive DNA evidence, many in Delphi began to question the strength of the case against him. In reflecting on the psychological dynamics at play in this case, we see that Allen's demeanor during police interviews has become a focal point for both the prosecution and the defense. His reactions, particularly when confronted with evidence, prompt critical questions about human behavior under extreme stress. Are these moments revealing of guilt, or do they reflect the panic and fear of someone entangled in a tragic situation? Moreover, the implications of this trial extend beyond the individuals involved. The Delphi case serves as a reflection of the challenges inherent in the criminal justice system, particularly in reliance on forensic evidence. As scientific methods have evolved, expectations surrounding the reliability of forensic analysis must also be critically evaluated. The revelations from the trial underscore the necessity for law enforcement to adapt their practices in light of evolving scientific standards. For the families of Abby and Libby, the trial represents a long-awaited opportunity for justice, yet it also serves as a painful reminder of their loss. The emotional toll of this ongoing process is immense, and the court's proceedings evoke a sense of urgency in their search for resolution. Can they find solace in a trial that has already brought forth so many uncertainties? As the community of Delphi continues to grapple with the unfolding events, the specter of justice remains elusive. The trial has become a focal point for discussions about law enforcement accountability and the broader implications of forensic science in criminal investigations. The journey toward justice is fraught with obstacles, and in the case of Richard Allen, the road is as uncertain as it is long. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.